Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.
South Africa ends the week with big questions over mining, housing, corporate culture, and the AI boom. Good morning. This is the BizNews Daybreak. I'm Asim Anyite. Coming up, the latest overnight world news from Bloomberg, Alec Hogg on Anglo-American's slow exit from South Africa, RMB's plan to help close the housing gap, Geraint Anderson on the psychopathic logic of win-at-all-costs business culture, and Bloomberg on Amazon's remarkable AWS result. We begin with the global picture. First up, our partners at Bloomberg News Now give us the latest overnight world news.
Apple, the company, reported record sales for the latest quarter. This reflects strong demand for last year's iPhone lineup. And at the same time, Apple reported surprising strength in sales of Mac computers. They've become popular for certain AI applications. Now, on the negative side, Apple had slower sales last quarter in China and in Apple's services business. Here is Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow.
Shares really fell in after hours. As Apple explained that the September quarter, things are going to get more tough. Not just because of higher memory prices, but tighter supply. They underestimated demand, which means that there is a shortage of leading edge processors. It is multifaceted. And that outlook where they see revenue growth of 9% to 11% in the September quarter, below the street's estimate of above 12%, it really overshadowed what was a strong June quarter.
Reddit is projecting revenue for the current quarter above street expectations. Now, this extends a track record of strong sales growth driven by a more diversified advertising business. However, the market was hoping to see a shift to AI training, since there have been worries over how Reddit may be disrupted by artificial intelligence. Shares in Reddit are down 12% in late U.S. trading. Rivian Automotive reported better than expected earnings as the company began deliveries of a new mid-sized sport utility vehicle. The stock is up by more than 1% in late U.S. trading. Anthropic says its artificial intelligence models breached three different organizations during cybersecurity testing that went awry. Anthropic says its Claude AI tool accessed the intranet and then hacked into the real-world infrastructure of external organizations. Now, this news comes a little more than a week after Anthropic's chief rival, OpenAI, disclosed a similar incident. Now, there have been a spate of accidental AI-caused hacks recently, and that has prompted some politicians to call for federal guardrails or other oversight of AI technology. Tesla is reportedly weighing the sale of its China business to pave the way for Tesla's potential merger with SpaceX. The Wall Street Journal reports Tesla executives have been told to prepare for the move. And at the same time, the Journal reports Tesla's advisors have discussed options, including a spinoff, an outright sale, or the potential closure of the China business. There was an explosive rally among semiconductor stocks today, reflecting the view that the recent selling of the group was overdone. We had the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index jumping by more than 8%, and other areas of the AI trade rallied as well. Microsoft surged 15% on strong cloud growth. Oracle jumped 8% after expanding its Gemini AI partnership with Google. Earlier this week, FIFA said it's working on a plan to raise as much as $4.2 billion from outside investors. And today, we're told, the Union of European Football Associations, or UEFA, agreed to boycott the FIFA tournaments if FIFA were to proceed with plans to sell World Cup stakes to private investors. Here is Bloomberg's Randall Williams.
So you think about the members of UEFA. It is the world champion, Spain. It is one of the final four, two of the final, three of the Final Four, now that I think about it. It is England, it is France, it is Croatia, it is Portugal, where yep. Cristiano Ronaldo plays. And so a lot of these superpowers in the global business of football and the global sport of football are saying, you do this and we're out. That strips the World Cup of a lot of its popularity.
That is Bloomberg's Randall Williams. Now, at the same time today, the North and Central American Football Confederation, also rejected FIFA's plans to sell stakes in the World Cup to private investors. A short while ago on Truth Social, President Trump said the Board of Peace reached an historic agreement for the complete disarmament of Hamas and all other armed groups in Gaza. Trump called it a monumental step toward lasting peace and security.
We start with BizNews editor Alec Hogg on Anglo American. The company's interim numbers look strong, but Alec says the deeper story is what Anglo is leaving behind. A 109-year-old Johannesburg company moving further away from the country that built it.
Well, we start today's Edge with Anglo American because these interim numbers tell two stories at once. On the surface, it's an excellent set of numbers. Underlying earnings are up 35%. Free cash flow, this is what investors like most, close to 150% higher, and the dividend very nearly tripled. Copper is doing the heavy lifting. The market liked what it saw. But as we reported on biznews.com this morning, the more interesting story is what Anglo is walking away from. Confirmed today, the sale of its steelmaking coal business, primarily in South Africa, and advanced talks to offload its 85% stake in De Beers at a fraction, roughly a tenth, of what it paid the Oppenheimer family for control around a decade ago. Well, add the pending tech merger, which shifts the center of gravity to the Americas. Tech is based in Canada, and the new head office will be in Vancouver. And you're watching a 109-year-old Johannesburg company, 44 Main Street, as we knew it, for its headquarters, complete its slow-motion exit from the country that built it. Kumba Iron Ore is very much all that's really left standing here.
Next, to housing. RMB Sustainable Finance has launched a 1 billion rand blended finance program aimed at South Africa's affordable rental market. Alessandro Scalco says the model supports small property entrepreneurs, tenants, and local contractors, while speaking to a national housing gap of more than 2 million units.
The main beneficiaries are the actual property entrepreneurs who get the financing to build the units and then rent out the units and earn an income. But there's also a lot of other beneficiaries. So obviously there's beneficiaries in that there's more available units to be rented in these areas. Now that benefits the tenants. And the reason that benefits the tenants is, number one, the units are built to a certain level. So the quality is really good for rental. And also just from their perspective, a lot of the people who rent these units do so because of the proximity to work. So that lowers the cost of transport for them. So it's really kind of benefiting them from that perspective. But also there's other beneficiaries in this, in that local contractors are used to actually build the properties. So you're benefiting local contractors, you're creating jobs and expertise in those local communities for the people, not just the property entrepreneurs, but also the local contractors.
How big is the national housing gap at present?
Currently, it's sitting at approximately 2.3 million units. That can vary, I guess, on a day-to-day basis. But currently, that's the estimate, about 2.2 million units.
And what has this program delivered? How many units has this project delivered thus far?
So the project's just started. So we are in the first sort of cohort or series of building units. The aim would be to, you know, and again, it's hard to estimate how many units because each property entrepreneur, depending on the size of the land, depending on the architectural design, depending on the approval from the municipality for zoning rights and things like that, each property can be between 2 to even 8 units on a piece of land that could be built. We estimate in approximately 2,000, above 2,000 units will be built from this program over the life of it. So once it gets to full scale, but it could be significantly more. It could be double that depending on the opportunity, depending on the size. I think what's really important from this is actually that this is a blueprint. And the idea is not to do this as a once-off transaction. The idea was to actually build this capital markets vehicle to allow Enloot to go into the market again to raise more funding to build more units.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas Medical Aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
Now to the world of finance, power and satire. Former Citi trader Geraint Anderson says the modern win-at-all-costs culture in business and politics can start to look disturbingly close to psychopathy. His new book is a parody, but he warns the advice may be a little too effective.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it came from my 12 years in the city. And then I was looking around at the world full stop. And I was looking at people like Andrew Tate, the Manosphere, so-called Manosphere guru. I was looking at people like Trump, Elon Musk, one of your South African buddies. and I was thinking, just a minute, the values these people are espousing seem to be kind of don't have empathy, win at all costs, no conscience. People are kind of pawns in your game to be manipulated. And suddenly I thought, just one second, this sounds suspiciously like being a psychopath. So I took their so-called ethos, their kind of strategies, to their logical conclusion. And the idea is, by doing so, I would expose just how ridiculous and how dangerous they are. Because, you know, you may succeed with some of the advice that I put in the book, but, you know, you really become the very worst version of yourself. And you probably, unless, of course, you are a real psychopath, won't be able to sleep at night. So it's a kind of parody, and it's, the advice is disturbingly effective. That's what someone, I was just saying to you earlier, that, you know, someone came into a book signing I did in Canary Wharf in London, and they literally said, just to be clear, this is a parody. And I was like, well, you know, in the final chapter, I do recommend that you kill your chief executive in order to get his job. So I like to think this is a parody, but the advice is disturbingly effective, Alec. That's the weird thing. And I've got a feeling that when it comes out in America, there's quite high chance that actually people are going to take it as a manual for how to succeed on Wall Street.
And finally, to big tech. Amazon's cloud business has delivered what one analyst calls a remarkable result, with AWS growth accelerating as demand for AI services continues. Bloomberg looks at whether Amazon is starting to prove that the huge spending on AI infrastructure can turn into real revenue.
Yeah, the AWS result is nothing short of remarkable. It's not surprising, because we got the good news from Google Cloud last week and from Microsoft Azure last night. But this business is now at $170 billion a year run rate, to be growing 37% from 28% last quarter is an incredible acceleration. And that $25 billion of AI revenue, that's real. When we talk about, are these companies getting a good return? Yeah, $25 billion of annualized revenue at probably 35% margin. That's a very good return on that CapEx. Now, I didn't see CapEx guidance in the release, mm-hmm. but assuming they don't give us too scary of a number on the call, I would expect Amazon to hold on to these gains.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the first thing that I did a control F4, sort of looking for that, trying to figure out whether they were actually going to mention it. And I guess that will be the bugaboo. But I am curious, when you look at the products that they have being developed, the ones they already have there that they're trying to grow, and they go through this one by one through the release, is there any sort of way you would actually bet against them finding a way to capitalize on that CapEx?
Right now, they're doing a very good job of capitalizing on it, because they're not just offering the AI compute. They're offering their customers all the software that comes on top of that, the control plane and the orchestration layer and the harnesses and all the software that you need, because buying an Anthropic model is not enough anymore. You need to make it work for your business. And Amazon, just like Microsoft yesterday, is doing a very good job of selling their customers that product set. They don't have to have the frontier model, but if they help their customers, their business customers, use the frontier models well, they're adding value and they're capturing the value in their results right now.
And that's BizNews Daybreak. I'm Asim Anyite. Thanks for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. We'll keep track of what matters and leave the noise to everyone else.
Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.